gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today, I think it's that Dave Allen guy, Mr. Dave Allen, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Monday, July 19th, 2019. Are you that Dave Allen guy?
That is me, Melody.
A poet.
Yes.
Well, welcome. Happy Monday to you.
Back at you.
And I guess in some respects, and I don't know if you have time to look it up while I give the market prices. I wonder when options expiration is. We had a pretty big, there was a pretty big target on gold today, down 1760. 1760 currently the New York spot price after market. So it struggled. It was up over 15 for most of the day, but it came back. So I imagine the dollar is pretty strong. We'll get to those numbers here in just a little bit. I haven't followed the dollar today, but 1496 for gold. Silver was down, followed along, down 25 cents at 1693. At down 25 cents, $16.93. Platinum was up $2 at $8.55, and palladium was up huge, 31, a little over 2% at $14.86. Let's see what that dollar is doing. Up 0.17 at 98.37. And I guess you can kind of see why the dollar got a little bit hammered today, because it was holding up so well. We saw the dollar rise, and you know, gold was going up with it, so having a little bit of a pullback. But I have a feeling we have options coming up and options expiration, and that's why we're seeing this pressure. Crude oil was up 1.38. Crude oil up 1.38 at 56.25. And let's get to, and of course, you know, those words that the markets wait to hear. Oh, the trade talks are doing well. It just cracks me up, Dave. You know, so that's all the markets needed to hear from President Trump. And we're up 250 points today on the Dow, 26,135. The NASDAQ was up 106, back up over 8,002. S&P, 2,923, up 35 points. So, you know, these are hopeful signs about trade is what made the stock market go up so much today. At least that's what's being reported, you know, on all your mainstream medias and your articles and you know, and so forth. And there was a lot of tweeting going on about how our economy is the best in the world by far, and the lowest unemployment, big growth after trade deals are completed, import prices down, China eating tariffs. We're helping the farmers with big tariff money coming in. You know, this is all good news. And of course, the way I look at it, the market should have been up 1,000 points with all that good news, Dave. But anyway, let's get back to see what some of the other numbers are showing. Let's see here. 10-year yield, 1.60%. December contracts are still showing 1505. So we're above that 15 level in futures. And European Asian markets, they were all positive overnight. Hong Kong was up 2%. Their demonstrations are continuing. But nobody really, the markets don't really care, I think. And of course, that in part is due to the algorithmic trading, the algorithms. So, anything else interesting there, Dave, before we continue on?
No.
Just a flat out no. But, you know, we did talk about the tariffs, Dave. We did talk a little bit about these Tim Cook, the Apple CEO. You know, he's voicing concerns about tariffs. He's worried that Samsung is getting an edge because of its products. Unlike Apple's, it won't be subject to the levies on the Chinese imports because it builds its products in several other countries.
Well, that's That's true, and the president says that Cook makes his words, very compelling argument. It's tough for Apple to pay tariffs if it's competing with a very good company that's not. In other news, Iran has warned again that the U.S. Warned the U.S. against seizing the tanker that left Gibraltar yesterday. Interference with the Greece-bound ship will threaten maritime security, Iran's foreign ministry said. And Gibraltar rebuffed an attempt by the U.S. to block the release of the tanker, which was detained by the U.K. on suspicion of carrying crude oil to Syria. U.S. warned of sanctions against ports or banks doing business with it. And, last but not least, investors returned in large part to risk assets today. U.S., again, as Melody mentioned, on the president's words, U.S. stock indexes rallied along with European and Asian shares. Treasury yields all rose, continuing to recover from multi-year lows last week. And as Melody just mentioned, gold and silver did slide, as did Japan's yen. Oil climbed the second day after a drone attack renewed geopolitical fears in the Middle East.
Do you think that that the trade talks, as President Trump has tried to tie the trade talks to the situation in Hong Kong, as he said it would be harder to sign a deal if there's a violent conclusion, and reiterated that Xi should meet protest leaders to ensure that a humane resolution. Do you think that is really, or is that just a future statement? If it does have a violent conclusion, it will impact.
Well, it's really hard to know. The intentions are, as the words appear to be. Some people, human rights activists, for example, would probably, be in favor of, such incentives for China to, not intervene militarily to quell the semi-peaceful protests, although they have been disruptive to air travel in and out of Hong Kong. But it's certainly and it's not unprecedented. It is probably unusual that take an issue that's not related to the trade disputes and essentially make it almost a condition of moving forward. But I mean, those weren't. Trump's words exactly, but could be that's how they're being taken.
Okay. A few weeks ago, you and I talked about how an almost single-minded focus on U.S. corporations on shareholder value is leading to bad things for the economy, like these massive stock buybacks. And now it turns out that shareholder value is supposedly no longer the main focus of some of America's top business leaders. The Business Roundtable, which is a group of CEOs or lobbyists from major U.S. corporations, issued a statement today by redefining the purpose of a corporation, Dave. The reimagined idea of a corporation drops the age-old notion that corporations function first and foremost to serve their shareholders and maximize profits. Rather, investing in employees, delivering value to customers, dealing ethically with suppliers, and supporting outside communities are now at the forefront of America's business goals. And this is according to the statement. And I got a bridge in Florida, Dave.
Okay. The statement was signed by 181 corporate CEOs. It added that while each of our individual companies serves its own corporate purpose, we share a fundamental commitment to all of our stakeholders. We commit to deliver value to all of them for the future success of our companies, our communities, and our countries. Our country, excuse me. So, hey, all of a sudden, the conscience of Wall Street, is at the forefront of American business and politics.
Wall Street has no conscience, and neither does politics.
As issues about economic equality and fair business practices dominate the early 2020 election stage and, you know, the overall news cycle on an almost daily basis. The Business Roundtable was founded in 1972 and has put out many statements over the years of, you know, on the principles of corporate governance. You know, it said this new definition supersedes past statements and outlines a modern standard for corporate responsibility. Jamie Dimon, who CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase and chairs the Business Roundtable, said, "The American dream is alive, but fraying."
Well, their American dream is alive, but everybody else's is fraying. You know, when you have statements from Dimon and Bezos and Cook and, you know, Bank of America's Brian Moynihan, they're the ones that create all of our problems. You know, Boeing. Oh, yeah, look at Boeing and his great planes that they produced. You know, you would think, and if any other business did what they did to their 737 MAX, they'd be out of business. They'd be out of business. GM's Mary Barra, you know, GM had all the bailouts. These were all the too big to fail banks, and now all of a sudden they're all concerned about the, you know, oh, please, they disgust me. Anyway, move on. What about world leaders that are ruining the global economy? Yeah, let's talk about them.
Boy, I thought you were going to say, what about world peace? Hey, what about it? Well, you know, despite President Trump's reprieve until December 15th for China tariffs, $33 billion in apparel, shoes, and hats are among the items subject to a 10% tariff on Chinese imports beginning September 1st. Now, previous rounds of tariffs have largely spared consumers, with the administration targeting items like, you know, telecommunications equipment, metal alloys, and mechanical devices. But Chris Krueger of Cowen Washington Research Group says it's not entirely accurate to label this a de-escalation. I like this. He likened the policy to telling someone, "I was going to break both of your arms on September 1st. Now I'm only going to break your elbow." Steve Ratner writes that the U.S., U.K., Europe, China, and India took the best growth picture in a decade and put us in danger of recession. So, you know, the question he poses is, why are so many key global leaders pursuing so many stupid economic policies?
Do you want me to answer that, or do you want me to continue? Do you want my thoughts?
But whatever your pleasure.
The IMF fund issued one of its most upbeat economic forecasts in recent years, in January of 2018, and they were praising broad-based growth with notable upside surprises. But last month, they sliced its forecast for expansion this year to 3.2%, and this is a significant fall off from the 3.9%, and I'll guarantee you they're high on that. You know, the bond market, it's sounding its loudest recessionary alarm since 2007. We've seen the economic picture continue to deteriorate, and, you know, and... You know, it's a number of reasons, and you know, Ratner says that this is a completely self-inflicted. I guess he's talking about the bad economy by major world leaders who have delivered most universally poor economic stewardship. Well, I don't know. I think they've done pretty good in allowing these, you know, taking regulation off of banks, allowing them to do whatever they need to do and to do all the stimulus and so forth. Huh? I don't know, Dave.
Huh. Well, I'm sure that was tongue-in-cheek, Melody, but Brexit has tipped Britain into economic contraction, and with European governments unwilling to pursue structural reforms, you know, the continent's barely growing at all. Xi Jinping of China is focused on standing up to, you know, the U.S. and solidifying his own power in the Communist Party of China, and after a promising start reforming the economy, India's Prime Minister Modi has turned instead to oppressing his country's Muslim minority in neighboring excuse me, Kashmir. So Ratner says none of this was necessary. As the January 2018 IMF report indicated, the world economy was firing on all cylinders. Not so today. As a result, world trade has begun to fall for the first time in a decade, with noticeable economic impact. Last week, we reported, you know, that one of the two big defaults, Goldman Sachs, had cut its already modest projections for fourth quarter U.S. growth to 1.8% from 2%.
What I don't understand, Dave, is how can you have our unemployment numbers? Of course, we know the real unemployment numbers around 7, but let's take government numbers for the sake of discussion here. How can we have such a low rate when we're only having this type of GDP? I mean, to have this type of employment, you would think that our GDP would be around 4%, even 3.5%. So, I mean, it just goes to show you that it doesn't even make sense on how we can have such a low, the government number of what, 1 point, whatever it is now?
Yeah.
Or 3.7. Yeah. How can we have that low of percent?
Well, we can't. I mean, yeah. For one thing, well, in any event, we'll see the government's reported numbers rise over the next 3, 6, and 12 months, I believe. Certainly, as you suggested, the real unemployment rate, you know, which includes, you know, those who've stopped looking, those who are underemployed, as Melanie mentioned last week, the high numbers of people working part-time, you know, which, you know, one part-time job equals one job employed. You know, it misleads misleads policymakers, it misleads consumers, it misleads investors you know, unemployment is so low. I mean, the same goes for inflation, for that matter. We'll talk a little bit about that later in the program, but I think it's a crying shame.
Yeah, it really is, because we can't get the truth, and, you know, but anyway, so, I mean, we have some issues. The sugar high from the tax cuts, you know, it's worn off. It's the same as Ronald Reagan's. His tax cuts last a year and a half. Then he had a 123% increase in debt. We're going to have the same thing. And, you know, we can, you know, the president can attack the Federal Reserve. And then, you know, all know I'm not a fan of the Federal Reserve. It's not, you know, we know everything about that. But here we are. How is it going to affect you as everything comes unwound? And I hope you're prepared and protecting yourself by buying gold and silver. We're heading into a break right now. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TimUpRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Sign up for a weekly newsletter, and hopefully it's going to get out on time. Today I'm running a little bit behind, had a lot of paperwork to do today. A lot of people are taking advantage of these lower prices. So, whenever gold and silver correct, you always get a rush of people trying to get in there and save a few bucks. So we do thank you. And we do thank you for your support. And I had a wonderful letter today here, Dave. See if I can find it on my desk. I don't normally read. I receive letters every day, and sometimes one moves me, and I always have intentions to, read them on the air, but, we talk about other things, and I never get a chance to. But she kind of, and I would like to just take a few minutes, Dave, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, and this is what we do here. I spend time with my customers. And she says she enjoyed our telephone visit this afternoon. She says, thank you for making the time for me. You so instill confidence in what we are doing to prepare for the worst of times. That's what we do here at Discount Gold and Silver. They remain in a quandary as to what to expect. They enclose their payment, da-da-da-da-da. She says, it is such a pleasure doing business with you. I look forward to speaking with you again soon. And it was on a card and everything. But again, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we do. We want you to feel confident when you're buying gold and silver. And you're only going to get that confidence if you get educated on the products that you buy. And that's why we want to build this relationship with you. And that's why, there's lots of places to buy online. We're trying to get ours started here soon to where you can at least buy Silver Eagles online. But they don't talk to you. They don't talk to you about what's going to happen and what can we expect when these things begin to unfold. And yes, we only speculate on a lot of them. But what we do know is there is a day of reckoning coming our way for the recklessness of our monetary policies, of our fiat currency. Inflation is higher and it's only going to grow. And they fool you. They trick you. They lie to you. As far as the numbers and where they should be. And so, it's up to you to make the decisions to protect your wealth with gold and silver. And I also had another request, Dave, to do some, maybe do a program on going back to the gold standard. And that's something that we should do here in the very near future. I've been doing this for so long. Sometimes I just don't talk about the things that I know already, but it's still very important to so many of the new listeners that we have and the new clients that we have. And, of course, that is one way to, kind of let folks know what to expect when things begin to unfold. So I think that is a very important program. And I remember, Dave, when we first got into doing radio programs, that's all we talked about. Was, the gold standard and, so we need to, maybe get back to that a little bit with, things becoming a little bit more volatile and, of course, seeing the gold and silver prices rise and getting everybody's attention. Households are going to be down $1,000 a year due to the new tariffs.
Well, that's what we're hearing. J.P. Morgan Chase estimates the average annual tariff cost per household. This is from the newest round of tariffs on Chinese goods will increase from $600 from the first two rounds to $1,000 per household. New tariffs, as we've mentioned, begin September 1st and some others in mid-December. JP said, what distinguishes these phase three tariffs from the other ones is the impact to consumption and capital goods, whereas the previous tariffs focused on more intermediate goods. Morgan added that unlike the agriculture sector, which is receiving subsidies from the government to offset some of the tariffs, there's no simple way to compensate consumers for added costs. I have an idea. Let's engage in free trade. Retailer stocks have suffered this
fair
month.
Fair trade. Go ahead.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
Fair trade.
Retailers have suffered this month as the new list of tariffs impact apparel, footwear, consumer electronics, and toys.
Well, you know, and then we're going to move on and talk a little bit just about, because I think we mentioned this a little bit on Friday. We know that a lot of these delays and some of these tariffs were due to the holiday shopping season. And but hey, July retail sales, they grew more than expected from June. So I'm not sure. There's still a lot of debt out there that can be used. As long as these credit card companies continue to increase those spending limits, it'll get spent. So, you know, it truly is a... But anyway, let's talk about President Trump raised his demands on the Federal Reserve. He wants for them to cut interest rates by a full percentage point and to restart its crisis-era money printing program. In a pair of tweets, again, aimed at getting easier monetary policy, the president said the Fed has been hampered by a horrendous lack of vision and said it should institute 100 basis points worth of reductions in its benchmark rate. His tweet said this, our economy is very strong. And, well, I mentioned this just a little bit ago. Our economy is very strong despite the horrendous lack of vision by Jay Powell and the Fed. But the Democrats are trying to will the economy to be bad for purposes of the 2020 election. Very selfish. Our dollar is so strong that it's sadly hurting other parts of the world. It's also hurting our corporations, too. But certainly criticizing the Fed is nothing new. We've heard from President Trump. And it is kind of nice to have D.C. criticize the Fed. But we do need a weaker dollar, and this is what he's trying to achieve, a weaker dollar.
Well, even though the Fed approved a quarter point cut in July, it certainly hasn't stopped the president from wanting more. Other people, too, namely Wall Street. Trump's been hammering away at what he calls quantitative tightening, or the Fed's efforts to reduce the amount of bonds it's holding. Fed acquired those assets during three rounds of buying during and after the 2008 financial crisis in an effort to keep long-range interest rates down and to steer money towards riskier assets like stocks and corporate bonds. In previous shots at the Fed, he claimed the Dow would be 10,000 points higher and the economy would be growing better at a 4% rate, if not for the rate hikes and the unwinding of its balance sheet. His latest tweet, again, as Melody indicated, does call for some additional quantitative easing. It doesn't involve the actual creation of paper currency, but is a very popular term. Markets widely expect the Fed to approve another 25 basis point cut in September and probably another one before the end of the year, presumably in December. We shall see.
We shall see. Just earlier when we were coming back from the break, I was talking about the gold standard going, will we go back to a gold standard? But I think before we talk about going on the gold standard again and, how is it going to affect us and, maybe we should talk a little bit about the end of the gold standard. We do know that in 1933, the government confiscated gold and only coins of rare and unusual value people were allowed to hold. And then they took the silver in 1964. And then we have Richard Nixon. And Dave, you wrote about this. And I didn't know when I mentioned when I mentioned about we needed to talk about the gold standard coming back on, that this was your article in today's edition, and the end of the gold standard.
It's true, Melody. Richard Milhouse Nixon. He did some very historic things in his storied, notorious career. In fact, many listeners lived through them. He was a lawyer, a U.S. congressman, a senator, a vice president under Eisenhower, and our 37th president, indeed the only president to ever resign from office. I'm not here to be a latter-day critic of Nixon and talk about things like his gross, unshaven, sweaty debates against JFK in 1960 or his ill-fated desire to tape himself and his staff all the time. I mean, despite saying profane, racist, and illegal things most of the time, or even that little escapade called Watergate. Nixon's controversies overshadow some very important events that continue to reverberate today. For example, he oversaw the world's first visit to the moon. He established the Environmental Protection Agency. He even began the war on cancer. Or how about the earth-shattering visit to China in 1972 with Kissinger, which set the tone for perhaps the most important economic diplomacy of the last century. Some might call that regrettable. It was called the Week That Changed the World. Now, that's no exaggeration. The same year, he initiated détente with the Soviet Union and led the way to the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty. But of all the things that Richard Nixon did as president, there's one action that has had massive implications for investors and consumers to this day. And I'm talking about Nixon's decision to remove the U.S. dollar from the gold standard, the so-called Nixon shock that hit the country 48 years ago on August 15th, 1971.
Well, Dave, here's what the president told the country all of those years ago. Kind of reminds me of when they were pitching the Obamacare. When I read over it, just kind of reminded me of the same thing. But what he said was, he has directed Treasury Secretary Connolly to suspend temporarily, the convertibility of the dollar into gold or other reserve assets, except in amounts and conditions determined to be in the interest of monetary stability and in the best interest of the United States. Now, what is this action? Which is very technical, and what does it mean for you? Let me first lay to rest the boogaboo of what is called devaluation. It just so reminds me of Obamacare. If you want to buy...
Right, you'd be able to keep your doctors?
You can keep your doctors. But first, let me lay to rest. If you want to buy a foreign car or take a trip abroad, market conditions may cause your dollar to buy slightly less. Now, who in the heck was traveling abroad back in those days? But if you are among the overwhelming majority of Americans who buy American-made products in America, your dollar will be worth just as much today as just as much tomorrow as it is today. The effect of this action, in other words, will be to stabilize the dollar. He just lied. He did everything opposite of what he was telling the American people, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, quite the bugaboo indeed, Melody. You know, Nixon's actions essentially ended the Bretton Woods system of fixed exchange rates, where foreign currencies were fixed to the dollar and anchored to gold set at $35 per ounce. However, other spending actions during the 1960s, especially on the military, led to the dollar becoming overvalued. We simply didn't have enough gold to back it up at the time. What we had was the full backing of the U.S. dollar, now simply a piece of paper that's essentially an IOU. Nixon's shock gave us a freely floating fiat currency. Hip hip! Okay, that's the right response. No hooray. And over the past 4+ decades, you know, that's allowed the Fed to add trillions to their balance sheets, especially since the financial meltdown of 2008. Between 2008 and 2015, the Fed's total assets went from $900 billion to $4.5 trillion.
And you know, none of this would ever have happened if they had continued to keep our currency pegged to gold. And we've literally have printed, and we're going to continue to print until the cows come home.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, debt indentures. For sure. I mean, today we're seeing the signs of a Fed-intoxicated market that just can't stand on its own. I mean, it's spent far too long drinking the spiked Kool-Aid at the punch bowl in the office. President Trump has practically begged the Fed to continue to lower interest rates to keep the party going. But investors are finally waking up to a very sobering fact that the party just might be over. I mean, just last week, the Dow dropped 800 points, which triggered what many Wall Streeters had feared, a yield curve inversion, where the 10-year Treasury dipped below the yield on the 2-year.
Well, you know, it doesn't bode well for stocks, does it, Dave? And but it's good for gold investors. Our fiat currency may have had its time to shine over the last half century, but gold right now is going to be the place where everyone truly runs to that safe haven.
Yeah, I mean, gold's already hit new highs of, what, 13 of the world's top 20 currencies? And it's close to breaking out to a new all-time high in the euro. And we know that's the world's number 2 currency. It's clearly looking like the best possible investment for the very uncertain future. And I mean long term. I mean over the short term and as well. Indeed, we're probably in, you know, one of the most, if not the most critical times of the last 5,000 years. Financially, economically, politically, things have gotten extremely weird, extremely volatile, and are changing quickly. I mean, what we're actually witnessing in the markets could in fact be the death of old monetary policy. Let's just hope that doesn't mean we're moving to that new theoretical modern monetary policy. I mean, that still needs a lot of debate and some significant tweaking before we replace a questionable thing with something even worse. You know, all the bond buying, the money printing, the stock buybacks you mentioned, they're not working. It's made the rich richer and the, global economic system weaker. Pardon me. Bonds are now negative in Germany for the first time ever, and they're growing more negative as we speak. I mean, investors are scared. They have no idea how this thing's going to unwind. We have over $245 trillion in global debt, over 22.5 of which is in the U.S. alone. Add in a trade war that's poised to go on for an indefinite period of time, and this thing's about to blow, Melody. Now, the market's been telling us as much. I'm not sure that we've been listening.
Well, you know, we've already sold, the stocks have already sold off to 2017 levels. The record gains of 2018 and 29, they've just been erased just like that. And this segment has been erased just like that. And we're going to finish this up when we come back from break, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned, because we're going to talk about something that I find really interesting, and that's strong, finding long-term care workers. So please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and I'm here with Dave Allen. And I just want to finish up. We were talking about how we've seen gold climbing at a, you know, at this unprecedented global financial uncertainty. And we've seen stock markets sell off. And not only is gold, the demand for gold is rising when the gold reserves are at dangerous low levels and need replacing. And you know what? We're just ready to, it's the perfect recipe, Dave, for an explosive gold market. And as long as we have a fiat dollar, I mean, that's where we're at anyway. Everything that we see, all of our problems, they're all symptoms of a fiat dollar. I mean, where we are today was all based on taking us off the gold standards that started way back, even when the Federal Reserve was created. That was the beginning of it. So here we are today, and what are you going to do about it? So, yes, it's exciting to see gold take off, and we're going to see new highs. We have pullbacks. I told you, as we saw gold climbing, yeah, I'm a little disappointed that it broke through 1500. We'll see where it goes from here. And I'm pretty sure that it's options expirations, people selling prior to that, that we're having an impact. We also have Jackson Hole, Wyoming this week, you know, so, you know, they're going to, you know, see some pressure on gold this week. Stock market's high. That's what happens when those people get together. But so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Dave, heading into, I mentioned going into the break about how as the United States is getting older that we're struggling to find long-term care workers. And we were talking about this through the break. And a couple of trends in Maine show the precarious future for the U.S., and how is it going to handle the rapidly aging population? One-fifth of residents are now 65-plus, with 15 states expected to follow by 2026. Nursing homes are closing. They're struggling to find long-term care workers. Medicare, Medicaid, private insurance, they're not helping. They all, which they have limited offerings for long-term care coverage. America's 85 and older population will spike more than 200% between 2015 and 2015, while the under 65 population is just going to increase by 12%. So that trend includes aging healthcare workers who are disproportionately older in rural areas. Maine Council on Aging, Jess Maurer, says the U.S. is just starting this journey. As we are living longer, all the systems have always worked for us may have to be changed. Of course they have to be changed. The system can't handle it, Dave.
Yeah, it just can't. I mean, the need for nearly 8 million more long-term care workers the future, Melody. That's a massive amount.
But let me just interrupt there, David. The sad thing is, who can be qualified? They're not going to get qualified people. They're just going to hire people. They won't be qualified to do the job, and it's our care.
Yeah,
and I'm talking about us.
I know, you're right. I mean, our generation. I mean, we're gonna, you know, grow this problem, you know, by the millions. And you know, as med school enrollments are dropping, I'm not sure about nursing schools, but it's certainly gonna, you know, put added pressure to grant more visas for medical professionals to come here from other countries. And it certainly could put increasing pressure eventually on Medicare, which is already bursting at the seams, you know, to increase or provide a more expansive benefit for the elderly. So, you know, they've been coming for a long time. We just need, you know, policymakers to, you know, do what we hired them to do and, you know, make it work.
Well, I don't know if it can work because we've, are in a position to, you know, I don't know what the fix is. you know. But that's a topic for another day. I'll have to think about it. But you know, we often talk about the the student loans, and it's no secret that it's going to take a long time to pay off these student loans. But few know that this generation of borrowers is chipping away at their debt so slowly that some may not escape it until they're gone, until they died. This is the grim assessment out of a new Bloomberg Businessweek analysis, which found that U.S. student loan borrowers as a group are paying down about 1% of their federal debt every year. It's as if a former student were reducing the balance of a typical $30,000 college loan by only $300 annually. Wow. At that rate, it's almost unthinkable how long it would take to repay the government, a century. Of course, many borrowers will pay their loans off much faster, especially as their wages, you know, grow over time. But the low annual pay down reflects a significant number who are struggling, as well as a group of borrowers in a program that can lower payments and may ultimately result in their debt being forgiven in 25 years or less, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to LBJ's Great Society Initiative in the late 60s, well, actually the mid-60s. You know, the plan at the time called for 120 monthly payments of the same amount, with about 10% of the borrowed amount paid down every year. It's being paid down 1%. Borrowers generally repaid their loans back then within a dozen years. I know my two student loans I paid off in 10. Now, you know, admittedly, I went to a state-owned university where tuition and costs were lower than private schools. I mean, everything's relative, though. You just did it back then because that was what was expected, right? But the repayment rate began to slow in the mid-90s, and it wasn't until 2012 that the student loan program crossed an alarming threshold. I mean, $1.6 trillion outstanding, Melody. You know, for the first time in the history of the program, the majority of student loan debtors who'd been in repayment for 2 years ended the second year owing more than they had borrowed. So that's not a good thing.
No, it isn't. And the answer is not free school. That's not the answer to these problems, but let's talk about freight shipments in the U.S. How much has that fallen?
Yeah, that's interesting and a concern, obviously, for different reasons. But freight shipments within the U.S. by all modes of transportation, you know, this is truck, rail, air, and barge, fell by just shy of 6% in July compared to last year. That's the 8 month in a row of year-over-year declines. July and I guess May, it looks like, were the steepest year-over-year declines in freight shipments since the 2008 crisis. Let's see, the Cass Freight Index has fallen back to levels of the prior boom year, 2014, but remains a lot higher than it had been in July 2015, 16, and 17. Railroad freight traffic fell by 5.5% compared to last year. Carloads of commodities and motor vehicles dropping 4.8%. Intermodal traffic, which includes containers hauled by truck or ship and then transferred to rail or semi-truck trailers, dropped over 6%.
Oh, let's see, where are we going to go now? You know, everybody knows that I'm not a fan of the Council of Foreign Relations. We know the issues and so forth, or the president, Richard Haass. But once in a while, I mean, you do have to follow these people and listen to what they have to say. And sometimes he points at something out of interest. So perhaps we should share those thoughts, Dave.
Good idea.
He did write a book, A World in Disarray, and pointing to the world's deterioration. They're part of the problem and promoting the world's deterioration, but he's writing about it. And do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you know, he's eyeing the U.S.-China trade war at the top of his list. The hottest July ever, Hong Kong on the edge, the growing odds of a U.S.-Iran and a Turkish-Kurdish conflict mounting, the new India-Pakistan crisis in Kashmir, Japan and South Korea diplomatic and economic confrontation, not to mention the unresolved looming no-deal Brexit. You know, none of those are passing events. You know, he believes that all long-term crises that require expertise do require, you know, expertise and bandwidth. He believes are lacking right now in the U.S. One of the things he pointed to was the lack of unfilled positions, and particularly the State Department, not just at senior political levels, but at the mid professional levels as well, that he believes makes confrontation and undesirable outcomes more likely. And there's also a colleague of his, Ian Bremmer, who runs the Eurasia Group. He pretty much talks about the same issues. He adds, Taiwan plus the U.S.-Russia cyber war and Italy's fiscal crisis. But, you know, his bottom line is that every single one of these crises is likely to increase over the coming months. And he said, and if in a normal geopolitical environment, these would be individually 1% to 5% scenarios, over the coming year, he thinks it'll be 10 to 30%. That's likely of growing to some kind of major confrontation. In other words, we should expect at least one or two of these events to actually happen. And he says they're not priced into the markets right now.
That's true. I don't think anything. Those are just, I agree with them there. And those are some major, some major situations if they begin to unfold. And you know what, Dave? It really is just a matter of time, isn't it?
Not if, but when.
It
seems, right?
Yeah. The purpose of a consumer price index is to reflect just how much inflation is eating into both our incomes and our savings. And consumer inflation, it has been estimated since the 1700s by measuring price changes in fixed weight basket of goods. This method has seen as a way of measuring the cost of maintaining a constant standard of living. And in the last 30 years, there's been a growing gap. It's become quite obvious between government reporting of inflation as measured by the CPI and the perception of actual inflation that is held by the general public. Currently, we know that the government understates inflation by using a formula that was based on a concept of a constant level of satisfaction that evolved during the first half of the 20th century in academia. Now, this is extended into the BLS reweighting sales. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat.
This topic will do it for you.
I know. This extended into reweighting sales outlets such as discount or mass merchandisers with Main Street shops. Take it away, Dave.
Oh, man. Let me get that cough out of the way, ladies and gentlemen. Politicians touting the benefits of the system created it as a way to reduce the cost of living adjustments for government payments to Social Security recipients. You know, it's civil service retirement recipients and recipients of other governmental benefits that, are tied to inflation. By moving to this substitution-based index and weakening other constant standard of living ties, those reporting inflation have muddied the water as to just how much we're being impacted by inflation. The general argument was that changing relative costs of goods results in consumers substituting less expensive goods for more expensive goods. So allowing for a substitution of goods within the formerly fixed basket would allow the consumer flexibility in obtaining a constant level of satisfaction. This adjustment to the inflation measure was touted as more appropriate for the GDP concept in measuring shifting demand and waiting actual consumption. Other tricks were also used to give the illusion of less inflation in cases where the quality of the product are deemed by the government to be improved prices in the CPI. Calculations are now adjusted lower to offset the higher quality.
So, you know, when I often talk about we've exported, and Bob Chapman used to talk about how we exported our inflation to China, we know we got a lower quality with that lower price. So that all stems into the calculations then of the CPI and GDP.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bloomberg recently reported that a shopping trip to Walmart cost an astounding 5.2% more in June than it did just a year ago. And sadly, this is the type of inflation that directly impacts many of us. And recently, product manufacturers like Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Procter & Gamble all started to raise prices across the board. So we're running out of time, ladies and gentlemen. What this part is saying, what we're talking about is inflation is there. It's much higher than what government tells us. And you buy gold and silver to hedge yourself. One of the ways is to buy gold and silver to hedge yourself against inflation. 800-375-1188. Boy, I'm sure glad this hour is over, ladies and gentlemen, but we're going to be working here at Discount Gold and Silver for the next hour or so. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And we'll be back tomorrow. So be safe. Good night. And God bless.
Bye-bye. Hey.